Thank you, Mr. Judson. Before we begin the sermon, I was going to do a little slideshow. Many of you have asked, you know, how the trip went. While I was over there, I did a blog, and through this particular slide presentation, I have 21 slides. I'm not going to go into too much what I already went into with the blog. I will do a couple of updates, but through these particular slides, I'll just give you a little idea of how I traveled. I'll give you some concepts that parallel very well with some scriptures in the Bible, which I want to point out. We'll see some of the brethren, and so I'll just give you a few updates there, but the main part of my trip was in the blog. This was my first trip to East Africa where my position was different. In the past trips, it was go to one or two churches a day, speak to them, and spend a little bit of time with them, counsel if you can. And it was get up early in the morning and come home late at night. And it was a constant thing for the trip that I was there. This trip, I was asked and was told what my new role was, and being mentored under John Elliott, was to now work with the leaders in the ministry, to spend time with them, get to know them, spend a lot of time with them, and put together some material to be able to help them in their roles. So that's what I did. So we spent time with the ministry and the leaders in East Africa and Central Africa. We had leadership meetings, and got to spend time with them one-on-one as well. So it was quite different, and I was just so excited, you know, for God to be involved in this, because none of us can do anything at all. We can know some of God's plan of salvation, but if we really want Him to be in our lives, we need to totally surrender and submit to Him. So I'm thankful for God's mercy upon all of us that we can really see who He really is. So with that, we'll do 21 slides and then we'll get into the sermon. Okay, so this, as I travel through East Africa, the climate is quite different. It's probably maybe a circumference of maybe 300 miles at the most. But you'll have areas there that just so much rain, and then others hardly any rain. And it's pretty much right on the equator. East Africa, somewhere in that particular area, the line comes right across. So this is an area where a lot of tea, they export a lot of tea out of East Africa. So these are some of the tea fields. Okay, the next slide, you'll see how dry it is, how we can drive along the road. And you drive along the road over there, you'll see different wild animals. You have game parks, and you have the Serengeti, where you have the massive drives of animals, you know, the wildebeest by the hundreds of thousands. But here we're just driving on the road, and you'll see some bamboo along on the left-hand side. And the next slide, you'll see some zebra. So I shot these pictures just out of the vehicle. And you can see how dry it is in these areas as well. So it just depends on, you know, where the brethren live. Do they have a good area with a lot of rain? Here, there's been 3 famine reliefs for the brethren. If they didn't get that, who knows what would happen. You know, being over there this last trip, there's families that were starving in the church. And so working with the leaders, it's like, let's not wait that long. You know things are going to happen. You see the situation. Because there's a process in the United States, too, to get the funds and to go to buy the grains. And when we buy the grains at this time of the year, that's very expensive. Because there's not much around and they can get a high price. Supply and demand kicks in. But there's a few things that we're working on. I think that God has inspired that we'll be able to to work with. I believe God inspired a pretty good idea. I took it over there and talked with the ministry, talked with the leaders, told them about this idea and said, let's stab this idea and see if it's a bad idea. Let's look at all the areas where this could fail. And with human beings, there's going to be some challenges, but they all said, this is a good idea. So we can talk about that later. It's something I'm not going to talk about now, but it's not giving them the fish, so to speak. It's teaching them how to fish. And the concept with a lot of the African brethren is they just, it's their mentality is they just don't quite get it. And they understand that. But we're teaching principles, godly values, putting him first. And there are those that are doing that. And I believe God has inspired something that is going to help with all those who are willing to put God first and helping them with the situation so we don't have to do famine relief anymore. And they'll also be able to provide for themselves. So we can discuss that later, whoever wants to talk about that. Next slide. Okay, so when I was over there, I wanted to get a picture of a herd of sheep and goats, all right, together. Okay, why did I want to do that? Because I've always been told that you put a, you know, the sheep and the goats together, that the goats always lead, all right? God, the Bible talks about the sheep and the goats. Those who continue to seek their will, to want to be first, to want to tell people what to do, they're not going to be in the kingdom. And during the right season, when the sheep are sheep and the goats. But if you look at the herd, you'll always see that the goats are leading. The sheep are always following. They're always following the goats. All right? The goats will get up on the rocks. They'll stand up. They want to be ahead of, not just in front, they also want to be up above. So as you go through here, and what, how you can tell, sometimes you can tell by looking at them, but sometimes you can't. But the goats, they have their tails pointing up. So that's how you can tell the difference. The sheep, their tails are down. So as you see in the front here, you'll see that those are goats. See that their tail is up. And they're leading. They're leading this flock. So the next picture, I think we get a little bit closer. I think I got three shots here. All right. So as you keep going, you'll see some of the goats in front. And then the next slide. So this is the back. And you'll see in the back, you'll see that those are the sheep. Their tails are down. So they just, sheep follow. We are sheep. We got to be careful who we follow. Not that still goats can't teach God's truth, you know, God's word. We have, what came to mind when I was over there was John the Baptist. He wouldn't baptize people. He didn't baptize everyone who kept the Sabbath or tithe, who only ate clean meats or kept the holy days. Because wasn't it the Sadducees, the Pharisees that came to John the Baptist? You can look it up. And he said, I'm not baptizing you. These were people who kept the law. I'm not baptizing you. Show me fruits worthy of baptism. Get your mind set right. Get the focus off yourself and love and serve and quit taking advantage of others. Quit being the one that you have to be up here. It's all about me. No, show me fruits. Show me that you're going to love and serve and that you can see that you need to change. So there's more to our calling, as we'll talk a little bit more in the sermon. Next slide, please. Okay, so I did talk in the blog that some areas got a lot of rain. But as you see, there's a worm on their corn. A lot of the crops are infected with the worm. So if it's not a drought, now they have this situation in the areas. But this happened before. But I know, like, when you read in the Bible, it talks about famines, and then you have pestilence. So pestilence follows a famine. So, you know, another one of God's principles and how this works is the government would, not everyone has TVs over there, obviously, but the government was telling people, you need to spray, you need to spray. And you need to tell your neighbors too, because if you don't tell your neighbors, you'll spray your crop. And in 7 days, the worms will die right away. But in 7 days, the worms will return from your neighbor's crop coming over. And so we would go, as we would travel and visit some of the members, we would see, yeah, we weren't sure why our neighbor was spraying over here. The neighbor didn't even tell the other neighbors. So we were saying, hey, you need to tell each other. We stopped along the road and probably talked to maybe up to 10 different farmers that were out in their fields or out in their front porches. We actually stopped and chatted with them and went into their crops and showed them the worms that they had, which they had no idea. So, but that's what they're dealing with right now. Next slide, please. Okay, so transportation. There's a lot of bicycles and a lot of motor cars and a lot of vans. But here you see them transporting a goat on a motorcycle. Okay, next slide. And here, okay, there's another motorcycle. They're carrying a couch. I think the next slide you'll see it better. There's the couch back on the motorcycle. And I saw that more than one time. And there's sometimes you're driving on the road, you just can't get your camera out fast enough to shoot the pictures. Nathan Ekham, I was talking with him this past week. He said, you know, I saw 4 people on a motorcycle. And I thought, oh, that's a lot of people. He said, I saw 6, you know. But they get around over there. And, okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay, and here's the road. This is a highway. All right. Is there enough room there to pass? Now, for those of you who are thinking about coming to Africa for the feast, we won't experience that in Mombasa. But here, okay, and you can go a mile down the road, and then the road widens out. So why is the road narrow here, and why will it be wider down the road? Well, the governments get a lot of money from foreigners. The United States gives a lot of money to Africa. But when that money trickles down and is given to that local government, that politician in that district may say, I'm going to hold more money for myself personally. Make that road a little narrower. We don't want as many materials. So it's not just thinner roads sometimes. Sometimes it's a narrower road. And there's people that die on these highways. Sometimes I didn't show any pictures of the potholes. So when you got a narrow road like this and you get a pothole and it's at night and it's raining, you don't want to be in the roads at night. Sometimes when I do have a long day, I will hire a driver, or an experienced driver, a paid driver, that's all they do. Because sometimes I know that we might get into the evening and get into the night. And there's times where I'm glad I had that driver, because we did get into a late night and the rain was raining very hard one time as well. So you might see another slide or two regarding the narrow road. Go ahead. Yep, there's another one. It's just really tough. And then sometimes on the side, you'll see that road that just drops a couple of feet. So he's got to be patient, and everyone has to help each other and to be careful. So here over there, it's the, they have, I think it's in August coming up, is where they're voting for president in their local elections. So here's the politicians will hire motorcyclists and different people, and they'll come down the roads and they're blasting loud from a speaker, you know, who they're wanting to get elected. And so they'll just come down on both lanes of the highway and you have to get off. And okay, let's go to the next slide. And then sometimes we get off and we get into the rural areas. So you'll see, but the Chinese have come in and have developed a lot of the roads. It is so much better than what it has in the past. They're spending a lot of money, and they are not fringing on the the dollars. They're not pocketing them. They're actually making the roads wide. They're making them thick, and they're making them very good. And they're doing it all across Africa and East Africa. That's just one of the rural areas is how they get their water. So if it rains, they'll go to a local pond and get their water. Some of them will boil it. Some of them won't. And cows are in that same pond. But the people in the church, they know what it means to have clean water now. So the leaders have been taught by John Eliot, and he learned that I got to teach the leaders, and the leaders teach the people. So now we'll go over to Africa. I haven't gotten sick over there. And they feed us. They feed us. I come back and probably weigh more. But here is a highway, and you see that bump, that speed bump. Okay? You'll see speed bumps, and you go to the next, probably two, you'll see another one. If there's not one that the government's made, the people will make one. And the reason they do that is because there's so many people that walk along the roads. And if someone has gotten run over by a car, or, you know, they'll put up a speed bump. And, you know, you can be going on the freeway, you know, the speed limit, and all of a sudden you come across these speed bumps. If they're like this, you can see them, but a lot of them, they're not even marked. And so a lot of times we hit our heads on the top of the car because we hit them. Okay, next one. Okay, this is a slum in East Africa. It's in Nairobi. You can go to the next slide. That is that big. They do not know how many people are in this slum. Some people are saying 100,000, some people are saying 1 million, but it keeps growing. And these were, there's no sanitation in this particular slum. There's no running water. People just find some land, and this is a government-owned land. They don't have to pay for the land. They just plop up and put a structure up. And the people there, they probably make, if they have a job, $1 a day. Okay, now let's not take that into perspective of what we make, all right? Because $1 does go a long ways. I mean, you can buy an avocado for 3 or 4 cents, a tomato for a couple pennies, a cabbage for 3 cents. So it does go a long way. But a fair wage would be $3 a day. That's a good wage, and that's what they should be paid. But in Nairobi, it's getting to be so expensive, very expensive. I would say in Nairobi, in most cases, is more expensive than to live here for a house. Their houses are more money than our houses here. It's just getting out of control. Next slide. This family lives in that slum. This family, this is George and Rachel and their three daughters. They're all fasting right now. This was on the fast day, the church fast day. And he's a shoemaker there. So he'll fix shoes for 5 cents, sometimes 10 cents. But he is building a house about 40 miles away for his family to get them out of this slum. He works long hours, and they're happy. They do not like the slums. They want to get out of the slums. They started building their house. Their house will cost them about $2,000 when they're done. Probably bought a plot of land, maybe 50 feet by 50 feet. Their house will probably be maybe 15 feet by 20 feet at the most, 300 square feet. No running water, dirt floor. But that's what, he ran out of money in building his house. And so he's waiting to get more money, so his family can get out of the slums. But that just gives you an idea what the Africans, some of the Africans go through, and you see them smiling. They have struggles, just like we do. Yes, this is a blessed nation, much more than, you know, it's hard to say if that country over there is blessed. But to go to the next slide. This is a structure that's being built on one of the fee sites. We have 3 fee sites over in East Africa this year. I will be going to all 3. My wife and 2 of our children will be going to Mombasa. We'll be stationed there, and then I'll travel out. Mr. David Meidinger is coming with. He will travel up with me to these other locations. We have a couple of individuals that in the Phoenix East congregation that are desiring to come to East Africa. And that would be, actually I got three people, two husband and wives and an individual. We'll definitely use them. And I will say, if we go over there for the right reasons, this will be an amazing feast. It's an amazing feast. You get shivers up your spine when you go with the African brethren. But this is a little plot in Gakachola. It's on the, I'm trying to think of what lake it's on, Victoria Lake. But it's in a nice setting, but it's very primitive. I don't think any individuals, there's one couple in the United States has asked about this place, but they're building some places so people can have a bed, a real bed. Other than that, they, there's a large, they tent. And the water comes up from Victoria and it goes into these big, black, bins, and we put chlorine in it and we clean the water. But there'll be about 300 people at this feast site. The next slide. So if you go to, my blog, you will see that particular feast site. Yeah, it's like I was driving in the road in traffic and there's Mr. Trump, he's over there too. That's in the back of one of the vans where people get rides. Questions about Trump. They're concerned about, they're apprehensive about what's going on. You know, they want to know what's going on. You know, again, America sends a lot of money over there and I think they're more focused on themselves. Will we still get this? But okay, here's some of the church leaders and ministers are waving to us. I think the rest of the slides are just our family, our brothers and sisters, just saying hello to you. And they always ask about you. And they're always thankful for the many blessings that they receive from us. The home office subsidizes them in every way, in every capacity, for the halls that are being rented, the food. They're just so thankful. And they want you to be in God's kingdom. They want you praying for them, and they're praying for you. So they're saying hello to you. You can keep going. And this is a few of the congregations. These are some of the nicer congregations that Good Works has donated to help fund. A lot of the places that we meet in don't even have a concrete floor. They're real small. We'll go to the next one. This is one that we had just finished. This is Gakachola. They can't even use this hall. There's so many people that come to the feast. The whole area, the whole land goes, wow, what? They all know who these people, God's people are and what they do. And they say, you guys, read the truth. You guys are living it. But people in the local areas, they won't give up what they're doing to obey God. So with that, that's it. Mr. Miller made a little comment, so I'll let you know. My wife had a flat tire, so I had to go get her and my kids. But I said, I'll be back. I'll make it in time. Well, Pentecost is not that far away. And with Pentecost, we receive the power of God. His power. His majesty. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. And just to give a little background here, Jesus Christ has already been crucified. He'd already been resurrected. And he's working, he's talking to his apostles, his disciples, those who were following him. And he instructed them. They know a lot of words that are in this book. But he said, you need more than that. Sit here and wait. There's a time span that we know for 50 days. So here, Jesus Christ is telling them, let's pick it up, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, says, "And being assembled together with Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." He commanded them, wait. You're going to wait and receive this promise. You cannot do a work without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do a work that's going to please the Father. He said, "What you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So they were baptized while they were with Jesus Christ, but they never received the Holy Spirit. That wasn't going to happen until Pentecost. We get baptized now, for those who do get baptized, and the laying on of hands is done afterwards because the Holy Spirit is available. "Therefore, when they had come to gather, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" So here, Jesus Christ is telling them, sit, wait, you must receive the Holy Spirit, receive this promise from the Father. And what's on their mind? Oh, when's this kingdom coming? What's in it for me? When is the kingdom coming? But God is very compassionate. And what does Jesus Christ say here? He says, well, okay, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, so he says, okay, it's not for you to know that. It's going to happen, but it's only the Father who knows. But then he gets back to what he was talking about. He says, when you receive this Holy Spirit, he says, you're going to receive, verse 9, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You're going to receive power, God's power, in you. "And you shall be witness to me." So through that Holy Spirit, you're to be witness of me. Without it, we can't be a witness. "And you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." To the whole world. The whole world is going to know. And just as a sidebar, Revelation chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9 or 10, talks about that the world will come and worship at your feet to those who obey me. People will come to the kingdom of priests for those who are faithful. People will come and say, teach me. Teach me your God's ways. I want your God to be my God. We understand and know that God is the only one to be worshipped. But when people come before a king in the Bible, they always say, "O King, live forever." They bow down and say, "Oh, live forever." People are going to come to those who have made it, who are part of the God family, who are married to Jesus Christ. And they're going to want to learn. And they're going to see. Because God will have glorified them because they have gotten rid of their glory, their might, their thinking. And God was able to use them. So a question today is, are we using God's Holy Spirit as He requires us to use it? We'll go through the scriptures today and we'll be able to see that if we're not, we limit God and what He's able to do in our lives. What I'm going to talk about today is nothing new. I believe every time we come to services, we hear about we need to obey God and we need to love one another. It's all about relationships. Through God's Holy Spirit, that can be done. By obeying God, we can grow in God's Holy Spirit, and we can have godly relationships. Without God's Holy Spirit, that is impossible to have a relationship with each other the way God wants us to have a relationship with each other. And by having the right relationship with each other, we witness God. We give God glory, and a work can be done, as we'll see in this message. So the question is, my SPS, is God's Holy Spirit evident in our lives? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. And the question is, do we believe this? Do we believe the Word of God? And then when we believe it, will we do what God says? There's a lot of people that believe God's Word, but not everyone does what He says. Jesus Christ performs a miracle in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, about two individuals. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. So when Jesus departed from there, He was in a location, He's journeying on. Two blind men followed Him. So here's two individuals that could not see. And they were crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy! Have mercy on us." And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him. So Jesus Christ kept walking, came into the house, and the blind men followed, kept following Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I can heal you?" And they said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about Him and all that country. So they believed that God could heal. But they didn't heed the words of Jesus Christ and say, "Don't." He sternly said, "Don't tell anyone." Point is here is, do we believe? Do we believe God? Do we really believe? We're the ones who will open or close the door on our relationship with God. Depends on what we're seeking first in our life. Who's primary in our life? Is it the physical things of this life, or is it God? I'm not going to turn there. We can jot this down. Malachi 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. God says, "Test me." Test me. Talking about tithing. Do you believe? No, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. I want you to stop doing it. Now, we're a nation that's in debt. If we believed God that He could get us out of debt. Do you believe? You know, how many stories have you heard where people started tithing? Oh, I can't. Well, first of all, I can't afford to tithe, but it says we're supposed to tithe. They tithe and God rewards them. Now, if we're looking to tithe so God can bless us physically, we're looking at the wrong type of reasoning for tithing and giving offerings. Blessings do come. Physical blessings do come. But there's a spiritual faith, no matter what. No matter how difficult it is. I don't have enough money to feed my kids. Do we trust God? God says to tithe. Tithe on our increase. Do we believe? Do we really believe? Verse 10 says, "Test me. Test me that I won't pour out a blessing upon you." Do we believe? Matthew chapter 6. I will turn over there. The prayer outline. And this is a outline. This isn't, we go read this when we pray. There's nothing wrong with reading it. I use this as my outline for most of my prayers. But there's times you want to pray for something else. But this outline, we're addressing, who are we addressing when we get on our knees? Are we addressing Jesus Christ? Or are we addressing the Father? Jesus Christ is telling us how to pray. He says, "Our Father in heaven." Hallowed be your name. Look at that word, hallowed. That's just like, you know, come before a king. O king, live forever. We bow down at his, they bow down at a king's feet. O live forever. Hallowed be your name. We bow down before God's feet. May many know your name. How we project ourselves in our lives? Are we letting people know who God is by our actions and what we do? May many know your name. Help me. Help us. May many know your name in our lives. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will is up there. Your mindset is up there. We want that same mindset, that will in our lives with us as your people. So what does it say next? Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to get off the physical things, the focus on ourselves, of being a goat. We all have goat tendencies. I do. I need to get rid of them. And to seek the spiritual bread. And then forgive us our debts. It's only through seeking the spiritual bread, Jesus Christ, that our sins can be forgiven and that we can also forgive others. So it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. It's impossible without God's Holy Spirit. It's impossible without seeking the spiritual bread. And do not lead us into temptation. Help us to come out of this world. Help us to seek you and you and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan so we can be a part of your kingdom. For yours is the kingdom, the glory and the power forever and ever. Who are we addressing? We're going before the Father because we can do nothing. Who are we praying for? We're praying for us. It's not just ourselves. It's us. We're in this together. A family. God wants relationships. He hates divorce. He hates it. Do we believe? Do we believe the word of God? I'm going to read to you a couple of verses, 6 through 11, Isaiah 58. I think we know these verses very well. This is also talking about, do we believe God? Do we believe what he says? Do we believe in the power of what he can do with us? Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 11, talking about a fast. Why do we fast? What are we seeking? What are we seeking in the fast? Where is our mindset? He says in verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to loosen the sins, those things that are holding on to you that you can't get off, that are weighing you down, that you can't get off yourself without my help. To undo those heavy burdens, those pains, the sufferings, the worrying. To let the oppressed go free. Those that we're hanging on to, we won't forgive their sins. That you break every yoke. Those, I can't turn this way, I can't turn that way. He wants us to have joy. Is it not to share your bread, the fast, to share and to quit trying to seek the physical things for yourself? Isn't it to share the bread with those who have nothing, it says, with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, those who don't have anything. I'm not talking about the sponges who always want something from you, never say they're thankful, and always want and never. That's what Israel did. They could never get enough of God's blessings. They were never thankful. They always wanted more. They wanted to feed their faces. And Jesus Christ said, quit seeking those physical things for yourself. Quit seeking to feed your faces, because what's going to happen is you're going to die. Think of others. It can only be done through the Holy Spirit. And when you see those who maybe sinned against you, it says that you cover him. When you see the naked, we don't expose them. We don't expose their sins to everyone else because we're praying for them. That we cover him. We cover that sin up. We forgive. We let it go. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. We admit and confess our sins. When we have issues, when we have problems, when we're struggling, God says, I will heal you. Prayer is not always enough. As you continue reading this prayer outline, it talks about forgive others so your sins can be forgiven. Then it talks about fasting. It talks about fasting. Don't fast this way. Fast. Don't fast that way. You need to fast this way. And God is talking about that. Have the mindset of, I don't like who I am. I need to be different. I need to use the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me to change. Help me to think of others. We talk about this all the time. We talk about it. We hear it. But are we applying it? Do we believe God that he can help us? He says, when we do this, verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. You're going to be seen as being different. Your issues, your problems are not going to hardly mean anything. You'll be able to deal with them. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Speedily. Do we believe God? And your righteousness shall go forth before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Isn't that what we talked about in Acts? That God said, you're going to receive power. And through that power, you're going to bear witness of me. Without the power of God, we cannot have godly relationships. It's impossible. I think I talked about this before. Like, you know, we have our government, we have the different branches. They don't get along. They hold on to their view, their ways. It's hard to get anything done. Look how awesome it would be if they were all there and they would say, oh, no, not my way, your way. And they would say, oh, not my way, your way. No, you first. No, you first. No matter what they try to do, no matter who they try to, it's a spiritual problem. Verse 10, it says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, that has to stop. We don't do that in society. Our politicians don't do it. It has to stop. We have to stop it in our lives. And speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, we've afflicted our soul through fasting. Ah, I need to change. God is helping me. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. No matter what happens in our lives, we'll be content. Won't have to worry. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So what happens when we hear these words? Do we believe them? Is it hard to believe them? Let it be unto you according to your faith, Jesus Christ told those individuals. Do you believe? Do we believe? 2 Timothy, we have these scriptures, okay? What are scriptures for? I have to ask myself, what is the scriptures for? If I just memorize scriptures, is that going to get me into the kingdom of heaven? Paul told Timothy as a young minister, as Timothy had weaknesses, and Paul has encouraged him to hold on to the truth. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. Yes, you're young. Don't let these people push other views on you. Paul had to encourage Timothy to stand up, to hold fast to the truth. And Timothy listened. He told him in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures. What do they do? He says, which they're able to make you wise. Scripture makes us wise. What to do, what not to do, right? How do we treat our brother? How do we not treat our brother? How do we do these things? That's what scripture's for. They make us wise for what? For salvation. It says for salvation. Through faith. In who we believe. We've been baptized, receive God's Holy Spirit. Are we living our faith? It's through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. God desires that we know Him. And that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can know God. Eternal life is to know God. Jesus Christ says, eternal life is through me if you hear my words that I reveal to you what the Father is saying. Are we hearing the words? Are we seeking the spiritual bread? We must be denying the self. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. This is not an easy road. It's not an easy path. That's why we need to be praying for each other. We need to be living to God. But we need to be overcoming. We need to be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. We need to be willing to deny the self. Whatever cravings we have that are ungodly. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, you're going to come after Jesus Christ, you must deny the self. Take up his cross, which means we do it willingly. We're going to suffer willingly, if have to, just like Christ. And we follow him, no matter what. We've made this commitment. We can't turn back. For whoever desires to save his life, they're going to lose it, he says. No eternal life. But whoever loses his life for my name's sake will find it. I'm willing to die. Jesus Christ didn't die grudgingly. He died willingly. Did he want to die? No, he did not. He's willing to die. He sweated like great drops of blood, it says. Father, if this cup could pass. He didn't want to go through this excruciating pain, the suffering. We don't either. But he denied the self. I almost hear like the words of him and the Father talking, Son, if we don't do this, these lives, they're all going to die. They're going to perish. No eternal life. You need to set the example of what they need to be doing in their lives. If I take this cup away, they'll all perish. Jesus Christ said, don't take this cup away. Give me strength. So when our trials come upon us and God's not taking them away, sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. We can always ask for strength, and that's what Jesus Christ did. It says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We need to be seeking the will of God. And God will put that in our minds as we put him first and seek a relationship with one another. He just told us, we read in Isaiah, of what he will do. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is one according to his works. What are we seeking? I have it in my notes, but I'm not going to turn there. But we're being created into a new man. I think it's a good scripture to read, Ephesians 4. Verse 17, and read the whole chapter. What God is doing with us, how he's doing it. We have an example also you may want to jot down in Galatians 1, verse 15 through the chapter, goes to 24. Well, we know Paul, who knew this book like the back of his hand. I mean, the letter of the law, okay? The New Testament wasn't written yet, but he knew the letter of the law. They killed people. He killed God's people who were living a way of life of loving, caring, and serving, and giving, and tithing, and giving offerings. He killed them. Then God opened his eyes. God opened his eyes. Without God opening anyone's eyes, they cannot see anything about true relationships. And then at the end of that chapter, all that Paul has gone through, he talks to them about his calling. He talks to them about the Holy Spirit, how he's following as God is leading. And he takes no credit. At the end of that verse 24, end of that chapter, people are giving God glory because how Paul is living. Are people looking at us and our relationships and giving God glory? Jesus Christ told his disciples, sit and wait. Do not leave until you get the Holy Spirit. And then when you get that Holy Spirit, this is what you're going to do with it. You're going to bear witness of me and my Father wherever you go. But we have this serpent, don't we? So much deception in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Do we believe it? Do we believe that this devil, Satan, can deceive us? Satan doesn't care how much you obey God. Just be off a little bit. Little bit, that's okay for him. He has a bag of tricks, or I like to call a bag of deception. So much deception that he throws out there. But by the time I'm done with this message, you just need to focus on a couple things. And weed out all that deception. Don't let it come in. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says, since therefore, verse 1, therefore since we have this ministry, this teaching, this way of life, as we have received mercy, we've received mercy from God. God has revealed this to us. And without it, people do not know the truth. It says, do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We don't walk in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But he says, verse 3, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those who don't want to hear it. Those who don't want to apply it. Those who maybe believe, but don't really believe. Remember that man in the Gospels? I believe, but help my unbelief. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Unless we're fully committed to do what God says, to know God. Eternal life is to know the one true God. And Jesus Christ capitalizes on that. To hear his words and to do as he did, to love as he loved. He washed Judas's feet. You're going to betray me. He washed his feet. Turn to 1 John. You want to know what God's will? You can take different parts of the Bible and you can break it down, but for me, 1 John chapter 1 and go through the first five chapters, this tells you what God's will is. The Bible tells you what God's will is, but you can break down what the will of God is. What are you doing? What is the process? How is it done? During this time, as John wrote this book, the last apostle to be alive, and probably around AD 90, there was so much deception. So many ideas and concepts of how to have eternal life. There's no way that the Father, some of the concepts I'll just come to you, and there's no way I can touch on them all, but some of the concepts was God can't be on this physical earth, the Father. There's no way he can't be around sin. That was a concept. Others said, well, someone else had to create this matter on this earth because matter is sin. Jesus Christ, if he did come and he was on this earth, there's no way he suffered. And before he suffered, he left and someone else suffered for him. The more you know, the closer you are to God and the greater chance you'll have of eternal life. So many different concepts, so many different ideas. How many do we know about that we hear about? Well, you can't say God's name, or you have to say God's name this way, or you're keeping this day wrong or that day wrong. They can get so far off track. God, what are the scriptures for? The Holy Scriptures? To make us wise. For what? For salvation. Through those scriptures, we hear those scriptures, and through faith, we keep them. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God is witnessed. And we forgive. We know people are going to offend us. People are going to hurt us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's fine. We still pray for them. We want them to be in God's kingdom. But John wrote this letter to individuals who said, no, you have to get to this concept that God the Father is the one true God. He's the one true God. When they translated the Greek into the English, they left out the before God when they talked about the Father. So when you go through this, what God is he talking about? Is he talking about God the Father or Jesus Christ? It's hard to know and hard to understand because they took out that word, the God. The God is the one true God. That's the Father. But you can go back in and break it down. But he's teaching that there's a Father and there's a Son and they're both God and you need them both. You need them both. And that's what he goes through as we need to be doing and how we need to be living. And all these other things, this bag of deception that Satan is putting out there, we got to get rid of it. All these false ideas that are in the church. They were in the church. They're still in the church today. The ecclesia is the body of Christ. Whoever they are, where they are, those are the ones who are living to God. Doesn't mean they always will. Right? When we hear those words in Matthew where people come to Jesus Christ, time of judgment, hey, we did this in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did a work in your name. Is God doing a work in us? Yes, he is. Will he always continue to do a work in us? It depends if we want to get rid of sin. God is a merciful God. He works through us. But we must be faithful to the very end because not everyone will be faithful because Jesus Christ says, I never knew you. You wouldn't stop sinning. There's certain things you still held on to. To know the one true God is to know who he is, to know his nature, and to hear the words of his Son. And for both of them to live in us. That's what scripture says, to live in us. I'm a sinner. I sin. So how can God be in me? That was hard for these people to understand that the Father could be in them and that the Son could be in them. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 1. That was from the beginning, which we have heard, Here's John saying, listen, this is the individual I saw personally. Jesus Christ. Okay? Which we have seen with our eyes. He's talking about the other disciples. Which we have looked upon with our hands. We've handled concerning the word of life. He was here. The life was manifested and we have seen him. He was God and he came in the flesh. And bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have what? Fellowship. Fellowship. They were all concerned about eternal life, about how to get there, but their relationship with one another was wrong. And Jesus Christ, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. No worries. Your joy may be full. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him, Jesus Christ, and we declare it to you that this is the road, this is the way, that God the Father is light, and in him there is no sin at all, no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, okay, I have my relationship with God, I have fellowship with him, but we're still sinning. We're still practicing sin. We still walk in darkness. Then we are a lie. We're liars. And do not practice the truth. We're not practicing what God wants us to be. But if we walk in the light, so if we're going to walk in this light, this, what God opens our eyes and helps us to see, as he's in the light, the right way to live, then we have fellowship. Then we'll have fellowship with one another. We're going to use these scriptures. They make us wise. For what? Salvation, right? We have fellowship with one another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Without it, it's not going to happen. If we say that we have no sin, well, this isn't the way to go. I'm still holding on to this. I'm still holding on to this. Well, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what it says. But if we confess our sins, oh, okay, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then he and his son can do a work in us. But if we say that we've not sinned, we hold hard, we hold fast, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And if his word is not in us, then we do not know the one true God. Chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. I write these things so you may not remain in sin. I don't want you to remain in it. I don't want you to believe these false ideas, these false concepts, this way of thinking. I know the truth and I'm going to teach you. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. He came to die for our sins. And through him, our sins can be forgiven. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to have that Holy Spirit, we must obey God, as we'll continue to read. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So quit being a goat. It's for everyone. For everyone. Everyone has this opportunity in this world. It's not just because you know more than this person over here, so you disc them. Relationships. It's relationships. Brethren, we know this. We hear it. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Are we applying it in our lives? Verse 3, now by this we know that we know him. Who? We know God. How do we know him? It says, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know God, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk also just as he walked. God the Father and Jesus Christ love us. And through that love, we can love others. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment. This is not new to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the very beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning, which is to obey God. Obey God. Oh, what a concept. Here's the scriptures. Read them. Obey God. Love my brother. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. God the Father and Jesus Christ must make their home with us, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. We have this calling. We have this opportunity. We need to be applying it. Verse 9 says, he who says he's in the light, well, I'm in the truth, but hates his brother is in darkness until now. We hate our brother. I want to be a goat. My way. This is my way. This is what you need to do. Well, you got to say this. You got to say that. Oh, you can't say it that way. Ugh, you don't know anything. Do we believe that? We should know who the true people of God are. Now, we can make mistakes, but John is telling the people the process, that when you do sin, you go before the Father, right? We want to hallow his name. We want everyone to know his name, so we need to be living the right way of life. We need to be praying for one another, and we need to be seeking his will through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that living bread. To overcome. We can't hate each other. The world needs to see the people of God. How do you do it? Bear witness of me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without it, it's impossible. If we don't use it, we'll lose it. If we're not using it, we'll see it. If we are using it, the whole world will see it wherever we go. He who loves his brother abides in the light, in other words, or the truth. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. God will pick us up. He'll carry us through. Our joy will be full. But he who hates his brother is in sin and walks in sin and does not know where he is going, because the sin has blinded his eyes. I know everything. Can't tell me anything. We don't want that to be us. We should be able to see that. We don't want that to be us. He says, I write to you, little children. He says, I write to you, fathers. I write to you, young men. And he goes through and through this process, because you've known the Father. You've known him. You know his will. You know his nature. I'm writing to you. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Don't love the ways of the world. Don't be pulled in. Don't follow those concepts. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we're going to go a different direction, that love isn't in us, and we can't have a relationship. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the things that we want for ourselves, for the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the world's ways. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever, eternal life. We hear it. We know it. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? It says, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that many antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. Hour meaning this time frame, this time before Jesus Christ returns. Satan's rule, his reign of deception. It says, they went out from us. talking about those that were in the church. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us and loved one another. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. When we don't love someone else who sins against us, Jesus Christ tells us to turn the other cheek, to love your enemies, to do good to them. Don't pack a gun to protect yourself or a baseball bat or anything else. Do we believe God that he'll protect us, take care of us? He says, I'll be your rear guard. You don't have to worry about it. But he said, when we fast, what are we seeking when we fast? We should know if we're living God's way of life, we should not be confused who God's true people are. And we must continue in it to our last breath. And we pray for everyone. Tells us what we pray for when we pray for everyone. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? They deny to follow what he says, to do what he has done, to love, to do the will of the Father, to be willing to give your life, to be willing to give your coat to someone who's going to take it. Someone's going to sue you, take my coat too. Don't go fight too much, it'll drain you of your money. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Either he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. It's to obey God, to have fellowship. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also will abide in the, is the promise that he has promised us eternal life. That's eternal life. It's just not to know this book and to talk this book. It's to put it into practice. People should see it in the whole world. When you go to Matthew chapter 24, when it talks about the end time at the beginning of the tribulation, those that are in the church but don't have God's Holy Spirit or haven't used it are going to turn on those who have God's Holy Spirit. And those who have God's Holy Spirit are going to be a witness to the whole world. That's the final. That's the final. Final. Test before the tribulation carries on. How that all plays out, we'll have to wait and see. God does say there's a place that he protects his people, wherever that is at. But there's also a test he wants to know. Do we believe God that he can deliver us out of anything? Are we willing to give up our lives for him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Willing to give up their lives, God saved them. Daniel, willing to give up his life, God saved him. How many times have we seen in the Bible, willing to give up their lives, God saved them? Individuals who died, that God didn't step in, nope, I'm not going to let that cup. I'm not taking that away, but I'll give you strength. When the whole world comes crashing down, when people persecute the godly, send them to prison. To be killed. How do the godly act? How do they bear witness? How do you? They're going to love. They're going to continue to obey God, and God is going to strengthen them. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. You know these things. No one else has to teach you anything different. We know these words. You do not need that anyone teach you, but at the same But as the same anointing teaches you, the Holy Spirit, concerning all things, and is true, and it is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him, in the Father and in the Son. And now, little children, abide in Him, and that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We won't have to tremble. We won't have to fear. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. So anyone who's loving, serving, caring, not gossiping, is willing to turn the other cheek, to love their enemies, know you first. Now, sometimes individuals get ordained and some people get upset and leave the church. If someone gets this position, they get upset. That's a wrong attitude. That shouldn't be us. Doesn't mean that we can't repent, because those goat tendencies come up. So we confess our sin and we change. I need to obey God. I need to keep His commandments. That's not how I should act. But if we have some for what it is, that they're not practicing God's ways. They're not loving. They're not caring. We should see it. Just as people should see us and being different and loving and caring. And it doesn't matter what people do to us. We're still loving and caring. We pray for them. We live as Christ lived. And He says, verse chapter 3. Now, I want to read this for what the scripture says, all right? Now, I understand it this way. We don't teach it this way. I just want to read what scripture is. And if I'm wrong, tell me that I'm wrong. All right? I just want to read what scripture says. I don't want to be dividing or anything like that. And we can discuss. And that's one thing about unity. We can have different opinions. We can have different opinions. We know what the truth is. We obey God and we love one another. And we do what He says. And we take the back seat. But how are we growing? How are we going to learn? Do we know all things right now? No, we don't. I grow and learn all the time. But it's not me. You can go through it and says, who does God work with? He works with the holy men. The holy men that He's worked with that are obeying Him. And what does it really matter anyway if I come up with something different here or there? I mean, hey, it's my opinion. It's your opinion. Hey, we still respect one another. That's unity. That's love. We can still disagree and still show love for one another. Why? Because we're using the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're obeying God. Why? Because we're using it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're applying His sacrifice in our lives to respect one another. I don't have to win. You have to believe what I just found. No, I don't have to win. I want to help you. You want to help me get into God's kingdom. The one true God is the Father. His Son came to reveal the Father. Why? So we could have a relationship with the Father through His Son. Do we believe we're going to see the Father? We're going to see the Father. And we will see the Son. Eternal life is to know the Father. No one has seen Him physically yet. Spiritually, we will. Chapter 3, verse 1. They'll stow it on us. Here it's talking about the Father. We look at this scripture sometimes and then we think of it as Jesus Christ, that we'll see Him as He is. Yes, we're going to see Jesus Christ as He is, but we also see the Father as He is. Why? Because we know Him. We're living to Him. We're applying His ways in our life through His Son. But it's talking about the Father here. Verse 1 says, the Father. Who are we children of? The Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Children of the Father. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Did not know the Father. They didn't listen to Jesus Christ. Therefore, they didn't know Him either. Beloved, now we are children of God, And it has not been revealed what we shall be, but when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We will be love. We will be like the Father because we listen to his Son. And we listen to God. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as who is pure? God is pure, the Father. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, and you know that he, who's he? Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not practice sin. Whoever practices sin has neither seen him nor known him. We can't know the Father if we're still sinning. Jesus Christ is going to pound us and pound us and pound us. I need, you know, through that Holy Spirit that God has given us. Don't grieve it. Listen to it. Follow it. We're going to see Jesus Christ. We're going to see him as he is. That's for certain too. We need to argue about this scripture. We can see things differently. I think that is something that God allows to happen. We've seen it how many times where people see it this way or they see it that way and they argue and they fight and they leave. We need to surrender and give. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. His ways, when he started, when he disobeyed, that's who he is. For this purpose, the Son of God had to be manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are engendered from above, who received the Holy Spirit, they do not practice sin. When it says here, does not sin, means they do not practice sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remains in him, and he cannot practice sin because he has been born of God. And he continues, and they continue, and she continues to use it. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil, they're manifested. We will see who they are. Those who have God's Holy Spirit will see it, and we call it for what it is. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Simple fact. This is the word, the Holy Scriptures. Are we living by them? For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should what? Fellowship, right? Love one another. Not as Cain, who was the wicked one who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Even if we hate, it's murder, right? Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Those who do not love God, don't marvel if they hate you and get upset and get disgruntled. We know that we pass from death to life, from that way of living to this new way, because we love the brethren. Those who don't love the brethren are going to be acting that way, and those who do will be acting differently. He who does not love his brother abides in eternal death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love. Not on our own. Can't know it on our own. You need the Holy Spirit. Because he laid down his life for us. Because of him, we can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. To display the works of God. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's who God is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness. Continues on. That's who God is. That's what he wants us to be. Those same fruits. And we also ought to lay down our lives for who? For each other. Why? So the world can see that through God, relationships work. And then he goes on to say, his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? I have to ask myself that. You go to Africa, you see a lot of people have a lot of situations. You know, I can go over there with money and I can come back with nothing. It's hard for me to say no, but I have to be careful in what I do. You don't want to disrupt their situations, but if we love God's people, and God's people are loving others, we should care for them and help them. And say, I can't give. I got to go back and I'm going to go buy something for myself. For me, I have this world's goods. I have enough goods. So it is something that we can look at, and it's not just, you know, the world goes out there and gives, and people just suck it up. Talking about the brethren. Do we know who our brethren are? They're loving and serving and giving. They're the ones that probably aren't asking for it. That's why John Elliott says, Monty, sit with the leaders of the church. Don't leave until they kick you out of the house. You won't get to know people. You won't get to know who they are until you spend time with them. Who are the brethren? True brethren aren't going to be asking for the physical things all the time. George and Rachel weren't asking for a handout. They're loving, serving, giving, struggling. He's not asking for money. He's not asking to get something, but your heart looks at that and says, what can I do to help? You see our brother in need, do we help them? We shut up our heart. How does the love of God abide in us? It says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. Let's not just talk about it, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. So we can see that that's the way we want to live. And if that's not the way we're living, then God pricks our hearts to help us to make a choice and to do what is right. And it says, verse 22, and whenever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We know what to ask for. We know what to be seeking. And this is his commandments, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and do what he has done and tells us to do, which is to love one another as he gave us commandment to do so. Verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Without it, we're doing it on our own. And when it comes to the tipping point in our lives, our true colors will show. I was going to read the other two chapters, but you can do that. Let's go to the last chapter and let's drop down to verse 18. Well, let's go to 14. First John chapter 5, 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. We can have confidence in God. I mean, we can believe God. I mean, we can really believe God by living our faith. We can trust him. Without faith, we can't please God. And it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So he can help us to overcome. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to love one another. So if we're praying for that and seeking that and fasting for that, don't you think he can help us change? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. It's not just a one-time thing. petition. We keep asking. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. Do we really want it? If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, in other words, someone who's practicing sin, who will not love his brother, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. So we pray and we help one another. And a true brother is going to repent and say, thank you for helping me to see that. I have people in the ministry that have come to me and pointed out my sins. Thank you. I didn't see it. But my nature was, there, get rid of it. So if we see a brother sinning, we go to them. And if they see that they're sinning and they're confessing, we just help them. It says, and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. That's a sin not leading to death. We don't want to sin. When someone points out our sins, we want to change. But for those, there is a sin leading to death, and that's if we're practicing sin and we won't change. He says, I do not say that we should pray about that. Don't pray for someone who's like that to help them to be in God's kingdom with that mentality. It says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. That's a sin that's repentant. Those who are not repentant, we shouldn't be praying for them to be in God's kingdom. What we should be praying for is that they see their sin so they can repent, then be in God's kingdom. Verse 18, we know that whoever is engendered of God or born of God or who receives God's Holy Spirit does not sin. They says practice again. Practice. But he who has been born of God, who has God's Holy Spirit, keeps himself, and the wicked one will not touch him. Satan can't deceive us. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know those who are of God. God is the ultimate judge. We don't condemn anyone, but we can see people by their fruits. We can see ourselves by our fruits. If we don't change, eventually we deceive ourselves. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. We have Jesus Christ's word, we have his teaching, we have his example, that we may know him who is true, the one true God, which is eternal life, is to know him. And if we're obeying him, we will know him. If not, we won't. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Brethren, we know these words. We hear these words all the time. The question is, do we believe them? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't be seeking the physical bread. In Psalm 78, I'm not going to turn there, verse 40, 41, and 42, Israel is not thankful, and it says they limited the power of the Almighty God. They limited his power in their lives, to the point where they said, oh, you can't take us into the promised land. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. What did God do? Okay, you're not going in. Children are going in. Today we talked about God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll have more messages as we get closer and also on that day. And we look at that Holy Spirit, we got to look at it as what power? What power? Brethren, it's God's desire that he fulfills his purpose in us. But we must be glorifying God in our actions and all that we do. And that is through his power in us, through relationship with him and his Son. We must be seen as being different than the world. That's what we've been called to do. to witness God the Father and Jesus Christ, not just by preaching the word, but by living it. By living it. Through that power, we can live it. It's your choice. It's my choice. According to your faith, it's according to your belief. Let it be unto God's mercy as we seek to live to Him.